Under California law, the sale, distribution, manufacture, and cultivation of cannabis by a state-licensed operator is legal. However, under federal law, these activities remain illegal. Nothing discussed here today is intended to imply otherwise. Can I help you? Brought to you by Mercy Wellness every other Friday on KSRO.
Go by as quickly as a wink.
Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Ask the Expert, Can I Help You? Brought to you by Mercy Wellness. I am Michelle Marquis, and in studio with me, of course, we have Joe Sullivan, who is always here during the program. He's the leading expert and product manager at Mercy Wellness. Good to see you, Joe.
Good to see you, too.
And I'm very excited because we get to delve a little bit deeper into the exhibit that is opening very soon on the 16th of June called Grassroots Cannabis from Prohibition to Prescription at the Museum of Sonoma County. And we're going to dive a little bit deeper into this with someone who knows a lot about it, who is very excited about this exhibit. She's got lots of titles, so we'll introduce her now. Sarah Schrader is the chair of the Sonoma Chapter of Americans for Safe Access. She's a member of the Sonoma County Cannabis Advisory, an instructor at Oaksterdam University since 2008, and as I mentioned, now she's collaborating with the Museum of Sonoma County. Thank you so much for being here, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me today.
So let's talk about how you got involved in this exhibit at the museum.
I've been an educator and an advocate for medical cannabis for over a decade in the Bay Area, and I was really excited about the opportunity to help bring that cannabis history to life. I was introduced to the museum's curator, Eric, by Brian Applegarth. He's helping co-curate. Mm-hmm. Brian Applegarth is the president of the California Cannabis Tourism Association, and so he's wanting to find new ways to educate our community and bring in new draws to our community related to cannabis. We've previously worked on senior citizen cannabis outreach, and so this just seemed like another good opportunity to bring this to the larger community. It's also an opportunity for me to honor some of the advocates that have come before me. A lot of them help craft these laws by making a lot of personal sacrifices.
Right.
To see the success of that is definitely something we want to share.
Yeah, that's exciting. And that is one thing I think that's very important. We think about, you know, the age that we live in right now and how exciting it is to maybe walk into Mercy Wellness, where it's very easy to go up and talk about what you need, and you can use it for recreational, you can use it for medicinal, everything feels great and cozy and wonderful, but it hasn't always been that way. And I think it's important that we highlight that, and that the struggle has been very real to get us to where we are today.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about Sonoma County in particular when we talk about medical marijuana, when we talk about cannabis. How has Sonoma County played a role in all of this?
So the Bay Area was essentially one of the movers and shakers of the medical cannabis movement, as many of you know. Dennis Perrone and Brownie Mary were two of those key players that were very loud and vocal on needing cannabis access for HIV patients.
Mm-hmm. And can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
I'm familiar with who Brownie Mary is.
Absolutely.
But people may not know who she is.
Absolutely. Brownie Mary was a very dedicated advocate for our community who served our hospices and served our hospitals as well as the AIDS community. She referred to the people that were diagnosed with HIV or AIDS during the time as her kids, and really felt like it was her responsibility to help care give for them at the times that they were ill. So she worked with a lot of cultivators here in Sonoma County and advocated with Dennis Perrone in San Francisco.
Yeah. And she made lots of brownies, medicated brownies.
Yes, she did.
And helped people who were in pain, who needed help. And you can't underestimate how much impact she had. So,
agreed. Yeah. So between her and Dennis Perrone in 1991, they introduced a voters initiative in San Francisco, which passed. That followed in 1992 with Marin having recognition for medical cannabis. And then in 1993, Ernie Carpenter, our West County Board of Supervisor, introduced a resolution also recognizing this medical cannabis status. They were urging state and federal law to allow for cannabis to be used as a prescription, mm-hmm. and they ended up sending this resolution to the governor as well as the U.S. president at the time.
Wow.
Brownie Mary and Dennis Perrone, as well as numerous other cannabis patients, were there to testify in front of our board of supervisors that ultimately passed in October 13th of 1993, and this really started the campaign statewide to see the push for statewide access through Proposition 215. The vote statewide was 56% support. Mm-hmm. Here in Sonoma County, that vote was 69% support.
Wow,
so
okay.
The voters really did want to see this implemented. And California ended up being the first state to have medical cannabis access. And here we are almost 25 years later with over 40 states having that access now. So what we really did is push for that national medical access mm-hmm. to begin.
And so that is something when you go to the Museum of Sonoma County to see the grassroots cannabis and from prohibition to prescription, when you go and see this exhibit, is that history relayed in the exhibit?
Absolutely. I had the honor of having a little bit of a sneak peek yesterday and a walkthrough without any of the display up, and they really showed us how they're going to emphasize the worldwide use of cannabis mm-hmm. and track, you know, the many different countries that was used spiritually, medically, for many different uses.
Mm-hmm.
They also have artifacts related to the medical value of and the medical use of cannabis during the 1800s when it did become acknowledged as a pharmaceutical here in the United States.
Right. It was used a lot like in tinctures and things like that, right?
It was available.
Sort of that Coca-Cola idea, right?
Up until the early 1900s, it was available at any pharmacy in the United States without having to talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
Huh.
It was so common. It was in cold syrups and baby products and sleep aids. So it was something that most people didn't even realize they were consuming because labeling laws didn't require you to list what was on there. So
okay.
cannabis was common in almost every drugstore, but people might not even be aware of the fact that they were using it.
Right. That's so interesting that we could have such a huge mind shift in the 30s from that it was a common thing, that people accepted it as useful and effective, and then immediately, you know, in a span of 5-10 years, it's the scourge of the earth. It's so crazy.
So that's exactly what happened. And in the 30s, that reefer madness really era really encouraged a lot of stereotypes related to cannabis. So there are quite a few reefer madness era posters that are going to be shown at the exhibit.
Those would be fun to see.
We also have that followed by the revolution of cannabis starting in the 60s and 70s when its use became a lot more popular. And then the evolution of medical cannabis starting in the early 1990s with this local push.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll also be concluding the exhibit with the current state of cannabis and really seeing where we're at from this point. There's a lot of really amazing items that are worth coming to view. Everything from campaign materials like the ballot initiatives people signed to get this initiative on the ballot in 1995.
That's awesome.
We've got
That's
campaign
cool.
posters from 215. We've got an invitation to the victory party the night of the election that was hosted at the Santa Rosa Brewery. So,
there's a beer connection too. I love that. That's great.
Absolutely. Some of my personal favorites that are going to be on display are original Doonesbury cartoons that were drawn by the artist.
What were the cartoons about?
Related to medical cannabis.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Huh. We also have an autographed book by Jack Herrera, which is autographed in crayon, each letter a different color. He's passed away since then. It's the book Grass, which so shows the history of hemp and the value of it.
And Jack Herrera was a medical marijuana grower, and he was
a hemp advocate that advocated for cannabis and
pioneer.
Hemp legalization. One of our original pioneers spent a lot of time in California as well as across the country advocating for that work.
Wow, so that'll be cool to see.
And it's also my favorite strain of marijuana. It is named after him.
Yes,
so.
Yes. And his son is still quite involved in marijuana and
Indeed.
Cannabis. Yeah.
I also have donated out of my own personal collection the award for the Sonoma County Chapter of Americans for Safe Access from the National Unity Awards Conference in Washington, D.C., recognizing our nationwide work as a chapter. We also have images of our advocates who we've lost, people like Brownie Mary, Dennis Perrone, John Shaw, members of Sonoma Alliance for Medical Marijuana. And the other exciting part is we're going to have a live display of cannabis plants. So for
really?
People who have never been
Phenomenal.
To a grow, they can see that
I did
in
not
person.
Know that.
Really?
That's awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Mercy's building that project, so
flowering.
We're excited about it.
They're going to be flowering then, I take it.
I'm not clear if they're veg or flowering, but they're going to be right at the beginning of the exhibit.
I think that's really important for people to see this, too, because it's so easy to, in your mind, for people who are, you know, who are stuck in the Reefer Madness era, to think of it as demonized, but to look at it as a plant, it's a plant, right? It just grows out of the ground. There's a lot of plants out there. So I think that would be very interesting for people to be able to see that and associate what we're talking about with the actual plant.
I agree.
Yeah, very cool. So this exhibit opens up on the 16th, so it's mm-hmm. coming up really soon. Are there any other special events? It's going to be running through September. So are there special events associated with the exhibit?
Yes, indeed. The opening reception takes place next Saturday. So that's on June 15th from 4 to 6 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And that's just with admission of a museum ticket. And a number of the sponsors and industry people that help donate to this project will be here for that celebration. There are also a number of special events that are taking place. Jonah Raskin is going to be doing an author's night on his new cannabis mystery novel, and that takes place on June 26th at 7 o'clock. We also have a Cannabis Pioneers panel that Brian Applegarth is helping curate, mm-hmm. and that is going to be taking place on June 10th. Sonoma County Cannabis Growers Alliance will be hosting an industry mixer the following week on July 17th. So there's a lot to look forward to during this museum's exhibit, and each one of these opportunities will be an opportunity to learn more and share more from the people that help make this history.
Well, this is so exciting. I'm so excited to go and see this. And the cool thing is you can get discounted tickets for the exhibit at Mercy Wellness, right?
That's right.
Yep.
Yay!
You sure can.
So stop by Mercy Wellness, check it out, and then before you leave, make sure you get your discounted ticket for this great exhibit.
Definitely.
It's happening June 16th through September 15th, I believe, and it's at the Museum of Sonoma County, and it's called A Grassroots Cannabis from Prohibition to Prescription, and we're so happy that you were able to come by and tell us a little bit more about it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me. Don't forget to stop by Mercy to pick up your discounted tickets, and please feel free to visit the museum website, which is museumsc.org. That way you can find more information about the exhibit there.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be great. Sarah Schrader, she is the chair of the Sonoma chapter of Americans for Safe Access, a member of Sonoma County Cannabis Advisory, and an instructor at Oaksterdam University since 2008. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. You're listening to Can I Help You here on KSRO.
Under California law, the sale, distribution, manufacture, and cultivation of cannabis by a state-licensed operator is legal. However, under federal law, these activities remain illegal. Nothing discussed here today is intended to imply otherwise. The discussion today is not to be construed as medical advice. Any discussion today of the potential medical uses and benefits of cannabis or CBD are intended to encourage the listener to discuss those uses with the individual's medical professional.
Cannabis is legal in California and has become the most rigorously tested agricultural product on the planet. Can I Help You? A cannabis talk show is brought to you by Mercy Wellness, a leading local cannabis retailer. Joe Sullivan is the leading cannabis expert at Mercy Wellness.
It's taken me years to learn how to find the best products for Mercy customers. I'm dedicated to them and getting only the best I can find. Many of the products I like and that I buy for Mercy customers are created by people who had a powerful need themselves. Maybe a family member or friend had cancer or another illness, and they were compelled to help them, so they develop a product to help. I constantly ask, what do our customers want? And then I go and find the best products on the market.
Tune in to Mercy's Can I Help You every other Friday from noon to 12:30 on KSRO. And hear stories from the cannabis frontier.
Enjoy yourself while you're still in the kitchen. Years go by as quickly as a wink. Enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself.
Yes, we know it can be an emotional time if your home is infested with termites, bed bugs, spiders, ants, what have you. It happens in the cleanest of homes. So be calm, take a big, soothing, cleansing breath and say,
Clark, we need you!
That'll work.
Clark Pest Control. Call for your free inspection. Clark will rid your home and yard of pests and keep them away. So be calm. Talk to us at 1-800-WE-NEED-YOU or clarkpest.com. Say, Clark, we need you.
Are your carpets filled with memories, as well as stains, odors, and a few other things? The Home Depot makes replacing that carpet easy, with more styles and colors to choose from. and free installation done by licensed local professionals backed for life. Today is the day for doing. With free carpet installation done right, guaranteed. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. $699 minimum purchase required. For license information, visit homedepot.com/license numbers. Offer valid through June 16th, 2019.
Under California law, the sale, distribution, manufacture, and cultivation of cannabis by a state-licensed operator is legal. However, under federal law, these activities remain illegal. Nothing discussed here today is intended to imply otherwise. Can I help you? Brought to you by Mercy Wellness every other Friday on KSRO.
Go by as quickly as a wink. Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think.
And welcome back to Can I Help You? This is the Cannabis Talk Show here on KSRO. I am Michelle Marquis, and in studio with me is Joe Sullivan. Joe is the leading expert and product manager at Mercy Wellness. Hey, Joe.
Hello.
And we're excited because we're going to dive a little bit deeper into one of the producers that you carry at Mercy Wellness. That's Himalaya Vapor.
Yes, definitely. Thank you for that. Yeah, today we have Marco Mastronardo in. He's the Northern California account manager at Himalaya Vapor. How you doing, Marco?
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, no problem, man. So I just wanted to start. Himalaya started in 2016.
Absolutely.
You guys have been predominantly in the Sacramento area, and then you just started moving into the Bay, some of the coastal portions of this area. For our listeners who aren't familiar with Himalaya, why don't you tell us a little bit about the company?
Yeah, absolutely. So once again, thanks for having us on, Joe. We're really excited to partner with Mercy Wellness of Cotati, and really excited to be on the radio today. So what we do at Himalaya, as you mentioned, we are in the greater Sacramento area, and we've been putting a push for other areas of Northern California as well as the Bay Area. What we do is we're focused on crafting a cannabis oil that captures the authentic flavor and the effects of cannabis flower. So what we do is we start with sun-grown cannabis, and we partner with small family farms to source that cannabis. So what we're doing is producing a single-strain cartridge using the original cannabis terpenes. So everything that we do is designed around capturing that true essence of the cannabis plant and preserving it.
Awesome. So we've talked about terpenes a few different times on the show.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about what that means as far as the single-strain terpenes are derived.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you, Joe. Sure, to explain that, get a little bit scientific on you here. As you've mentioned, cannabis has many compounds in it, including THC and CBD, but there's also other known compounds, over 100 known compounds in cannabis. These specific traits make the cannabis strains unique. Unfortunately, preserving these cannabis terpenes is very difficult. They're volatile and they can come off in the processing. So what we do is we strive to create a product that is true to the cannabis flower. And what, unfortunately, through that process, a lot of the other companies, they're losing the essence of the cannabis plant. So it's our job to produce that and to maintain that and protect that. What some of the other companies are doing is they're stripping out these essential compounds and then they're adding a flavoring back to it. And it's not derived from a cannabis plant. And so it doesn't have the effectiveness of the cannabis plant.
Yeah, full spectrum is a term that gets thrown around a lot. What does that mean? Can you explain to the listeners a little bit what the full spectrum aspect means?
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, cannabis contains a lot more than just THC and CBD. The cannabis contains full spectrum. Oil is produced in a way that captures these beneficial compounds. That's what we do. We maintain these. What's unique about Himalaya compared to other full-spectrum oils is that we've figured out a way to remove all the stuff that you don't want while preserving the full spectrum of the beneficial compounds. So Himalaya cartridges, they're high potent, they're extremely pure, and our process is truly unique, which makes our product truly unique as well.
Now, as far as strains go, how many strains do you normally have at any given moment for people to choose from? Because obviously there's a lot of different uses and needs people have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we try to maintain at least 12 to 15 strains. We don't refer to them as flavors because they are strains. They are actually true to the cannabis plant rather than having a flavoring. So we do have, you know, the traditional strains. We carry a sativa, We have hybrids as well as indicas. Sure. And for the medical patients, we also do a CBD cartridge as well.
Yeah, one of the things I love about that is you actually have a chance to highlight the growers. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that, how you guys do that?
Yeah, that's really something that's truly, truly important to us. You know, this industry, it's been medical for a long time. It's come into the recreational light now. A lot of people for a long time, they risk their social status and their freedom to, you know, promote the medical benefits of the cannabis plant. And, you know, there's a lot of people coming on the scene. There's a lot of money being thrown around, a lot of big business and corporations coming into it. And it's really, really important to us to support those farmers, the people that pioneered this industry, the people that built this industry, that made it possible for all of us to be here today. So what we do is we partner with small family farms in the Northern California area to source our flower, mostly in Sonoma and Mendocino counties. And our small farmers, the reason we do that is they grow interesting strains, and they really have the ability to care for each individual plant, something that you're just not going to be able to do on the large-scale factory farm.
Sure. And a lot of companies, vape companies, they subcontract out their oil refinement.
Right.
You guys are actually running the oil yourselves, correct?
Yeah. So we're processing everything ourselves. So we're able to source it, like I said, from local growers, from small-time family growers. We extract everything ourselves. We refine everything ourselves, and that, you know, creates an authenticity and a quality that we can be consistent with every time.
And I like to try to ask these questions when we have time. What of the strains that you guys have is your personal favorite?
My probably personal favorite. I'm an indica guy. I find that it mellows me out, and I'm able to function. And the Cashmere Kush is really, really excellent. That would be my favorite strain.
Excellent. And have you guys had any thought to looking at small grows for indoor? I know you guys are predominantly with sun-grown cannabis, but
absolutely.
I do know now there is a lot more, as far as license goes, indoor growers.
Sure, sure. What we found is just for the environment and for the cost, these people have been growing outside using the full spectrum of the sun and the soil. Our farmers are using a lot of compost, manure, as well as cover plants and compost teas to really harness and get the full benefit of the plant and the way it grows naturally in the environment.
Yeah, and to explain a little bit about the crop covering for our listeners, it's a way to where you can have natural defenses for your plants, so you're not using those harmful pesticides and sprays. It's almost like a living organism itself. You know,
right.
I've seen the soil actually moving before.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We like to say we grow soil. If you grow soil, you're growing healthy plants.
Right, right. And that's something that any organic gardener would be interested in doing, making sure that the health of your garden, the health of the soil, the health of the surrounding area is vital and doing well, right?
Yeah, definitely. Sustainability seems to be a key metric across the board when it comes to sun-grown cannabis growers. You know, that's their livelihood. It's been that for so long. So it's nice to see a company highlighting those farms.
Absolutely.
One of the things I will say I love that you guys do is you actually take pictures from the farms you're sourcing from.
Right.
And insert that directly into the packaging for the strain that you purchase.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
It creates this kind of intimate connection with the farm, and I absolutely love it.
Definitely.
The Anderson Valley.
Yeah. So for example, if you go into Mercy of Cotati and you buy a Dream Queen cartridge, you'll actually see on the top of the packaging that it's sourced from Anderson Valley Cannabis Company in Mendocino. And not only that, you'll see that on top, but actually when you open up the packaging, you'll get a small farmer's card, which will give you a little bit of information about the grower. And we find that it's a win-win for everyone, really, us, the growers, and the consumer at the end of the day.
You know, I think that seemed like, as we were looking at, you know, when recreational became available and people started to sort of get more interest outside of the established cannabis culture and community, that was one thing that I thought would be very exciting, to have sort of that terroir feeling, right? And
absolutely.
And know your farmer and things like that. And those things I thought would be much more important. So it's very exciting to see
absolutely.
That Himalaya is doing that.
Yeah, it's definitely in Sonoma County in general. I mean, with our farmers markets, how
right.
we shop, what
or
we
our
do,
wines,
our
and
wines,
we know a lot about them. I mean,
even our craft beer scene.
Right.
Once the education catches up, mm-hmm. you know, people really want to. They thirst for that knowledge. So it's really fun to watch it grow like this.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
I'd have to ask you too, just because I know we have a little bit of time left.
Where did the name Himalaya come from?
So Himalaya, as some people may be familiar with, a lot of the what they're referred to as the landrace strains. So the original cannabis plant, before it was bred and selected out for all of these different, you know, terroirs, flavors, terpenes, the strains came from the Himalaya Mountains. So that was actually, you know, something, again, where we wanted to be true to the cannabis plant and recognize, you know, the history behind the plant and where it came from. So that was something that our owners came, you know, to decide together was, hey, let's you know, pay homage and honor to the cannabis plant in the Himalaya Mountains.
Anything new or exciting in the works for Himalaya? Any new flavor, any new strains coming out?
Absolutely. So we have a Black Triangle that is coming out really soon, as well as a Rattlesnake Diesel. Both of those we're extremely excited about, as well as a sauce cart that we're coming out with very shortly here.
So and, I have to interrupt. What is sauce?
So sauce...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, so it's... there's a lot of different terms that get thrown around loosely for it, but sauce is basically what they call when the terpenes have been separated out from the THC itself. So they actually create crystals, the THCA crystals, almost like how you grew crystals in science class when you were in sixth grade. Sort of like that, but what happens is the terpenes separate. And so those come up to the top, basically the cream rises to the top, so to speak. And you can actually separate that out, and a lot of the effects that you get from marijuana it's actually the terpenes giving you those effects, you know. So they may not be very potent in THC testing when you're testing the sauce, but the terpene levels are off the charts, and those different terpenes give you different desired effects, and it basically gives you that full aroma and flavor of the essence of the plant. So it's the fine dining, I guess, when you're talking about the plant. When you're talking about plants,
right?
You learn something new every time. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but we can learn more about Himalaya by going to Mercy and talking with Joe or anybody else there. Thank you so much for coming in, Marco.
Absolutely. Thank you, folks, for having us on. We really appreciate it.
Sure.
We'd love to join you again at Himalaya. We like to keep weed real, and that's what we're all about at Himalaya.
Thank you so much. This is Can I Help You on KSRO.
Under California law, the sale, distribution, manufacture, and cultivation of cannabis by a state-licensed operator is legal. However, under federal law, these activities remain illegal. Nothing discussed here today is intended to imply otherwise. The discussion today is not to be construed as medical advice. Any discussion today of the potential medical uses and benefits of cannabis or CBD are intended to encourage the listener to discuss those uses with the individual's medical professional.